Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
Saints of the Most High God, I was in my study this week, and just all week long I've been hearing about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to start a series. This is going to be a part one. I don't know how many parts there's going to be. I don't know, but there's so much information. And I'm going to go for the next couple of weeks until the Lord says stop. Hallelujah. But we're going to be on the Holy Spirit for several weeks. I know that to be a fact. Glory to God. The title of the message this morning, the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does. We're going to be reading from two portions of scripture in the book of John. John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. And then we're going to scroll down to verse 26. Then we're going to skip over two chapters and go to John 16. And we're going to read verses 7 through 15. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. Oh, the faithfulness of God. He will never abandon you. He will never leave you as an orphan. All that cry out to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. I thank you, Lord. John 14. If you have it, say amen. Let's start at verse number 16. And the word of the Lord says, these are Jesus' words. Everything we're reading today are the red letters in your Bible. 16, and the word says, and I will pray the Father. And I'm in the King James Version, by the way. There's a reason for that. Amen. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Glory to God. Let's go down in that same chapter to verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, just in case you didn't know, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Glory to God. Now let's move over two chapters to chapter 16 in the book of John. And let's scroll down to verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you, or ye, cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Glory to God. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. Glory to God in the highest. You may take your seats this morning in the presence of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Saints of God, I want to ask a question this morning. For some of you, this might seem like a basic foundational teaching. For those that are in their word, for those that walk with the Spirit of God, for those that have been imparted the Spirit of truth, you will say, yes, I understand. Yes, I agree. Yes, I was aware. But for many of you, you may not even have heard what you're going to hear today. But I want you to ask yourself a question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Surprisingly, many people do not know. There are so many powerless Christians in the body of Christ. And that is not a slam, it's just a fact. There are so many believers that walk around without power, without authority, without even having a clue. There are so many Christians that would rather call Mama Cleo than call on the Holy Spirit of the living God. There are some Christians that would rather open up a horoscope and say, what does this have for me today? Than to just go before the presence of the living God. And they pay for it. How about this? The other sanctified Christians, those that have been blood brought, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and they're a little more seasoned in their own mind. Notice I said in their own mind. They'll go and buy a ticket to California and go pay for a prophet to give them a prophetic word, and they'll pay another $1,000 to the prophet. They sow a seed love offering to the prophet to get a word of the Lord instead of just opening up the book. I'm talking to somebody here. Let me save you some money. Hallelujah. Let me save you the aggravation of having to take your shoes off and your belt off when you get to the airport screening and to take off your earrings and all your stuff. Let me save you some hassle. Go to the book. Hallelujah. Turn to the Lord. Just talk to Jesus. Hallelujah. Return to me, says the Lord. Return to me, says the Spirit of the living God. How many know that the Holy Spirit is God? We know, and many times we see the dove because the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus when he was baptized in the River Jordan, and the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. God chose the dove as a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. We see in the book of Luke chapter 3, you've got God in heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Then you see the Spirit in the form of a dove flying over and being present at the Jordan River. And then you see Jesus coming up out of the water. You've got all three of the Trinity in one verse. All three of these are one and the same. The Holy Spirit is God, as the Father in heaven is God, as Jesus the Son is God. Hallelujah. And I will say this, that the Holy Spirit is also God. The Holy Spirit is one of the persons in the Trinity. Praise God. I'm going to say this because, you know, right away people start manifesting. Amen. But the word Trinity, how many have heard of the word Trinity? Some Christians still say, but Pastor, Trinity is not found in the Bible. The word Trinity doesn't exist. Yet, neither does the word Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. Amen. There's a lot of things. The word rapture is not in the Bible. But of course, there is a Trinity. There is a Godhead. And most people don't understand the Trinity. Now, yes, this is a very complex a situation for the novice to understand. But it's very simple when you understand who God is. Let me give you some scriptures. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word. How many know who the Word is? Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Genesis 1:26, the first portion. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. The word us is a plural word. That means there's three in one. The word our is plural, three in one. When God was there at the very beginning and he said, let us, who do you think us is? That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about the angels. He's not talking about any other created beings. He's saying, let us make man in our image. Isn't it wonderful to know that no other creature in the history of the world, in the universe, no other creature looks like God but you and me? We are created in his image. We look like him. And that's a beautiful thing because he has given us dominion. Why? Because he has dominion over all things. He has given us dominion over this earth, and he has given us the power to subdue sin. The power to rise above it. But so oftentimes we forget who we are and we give over our dominion over to one who is evil. We let the very thing that we're supposed to rule over us. And I'm talking about it, some of you know, I'm talking about alcohol, I'm talking about cigarettes, I'm talking about cocaine, I'm talking about pharmakia, I'm talking about all kinds of stuff. Listen, the plants have taken revenge against the fall of man. We were supposed to have dominion over the plants. Where do you think alcohol comes from? Where do you think drugs comes from? It comes from the plants. And we've given over our power, our authority, our leverage over this world. And we've come underneath, and now the plants are ruining people's lives, ruining families, ruining people's teeth, jacking them up. You ever seen someone on crystal meth and they're 30 years old and they look like they're 65, jacked up? The plants, revenge. We're supposed to overrule those things. Hallelujah. But God has created us in his image, in the image of the Lord. Praise the living God. God is one in three persons. Let me give you some more scriptures to put in your notes. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Amen. Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here am I. Send me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for coming in our place, oh God. Isaiah 48:16. Come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Hallelujah. Three in one. Let's look at some more scriptures this morning. Amen. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Yes, we read it earlier. Hallelujah. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. Glory to God. Let me just say this. You know why that was given in the morning and that's given out? Because the same Holy Spirit that is in you is in me and is in you and is in us. We are all part of the same body of Christ. The same Spirit of the living God not only is here, but he is within. He comes to reside within our soul, within our body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Here we see again, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, the power that is imparted. And what is that power for? To cast out devils, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. There's an authority that comes with the indwelling, with the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And so often the Christians are so lame, hallelujah, because we're always going to everyone else but God. We don't understand who we are in Jesus Christ. You have been given the authority of heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus gave you the keys to the kingdom, and it will unlock heaven on earth. Praise God. He has also given you authority. Brother Jesse prayed this prayer earlier. He gives you the authority to bind on earth, and it is bound in heaven. To loose on earth, it is loosed in heaven. There's a power that comes from the indwelling, the filling of the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit is a person, praise God. Some mistakenly think of him as a impersonality, or just like some phantom, or they think he's just some kind of a force, like space dust or space gas. I've heard such craziness about the Holy Spirit, and people have got to recognize he's one of the Godhead. He's part of the Trinity, praise the living God. Here's one of the reasons, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, let that one sink in. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Hallelujah. We can start here because we've got to understand the natural man finds everything that I'm saying right now confusing. The natural mind does not understand anything that I'm saying because it is spiritually discerned. You can't understand it. You can't appreciate it. You can't even find it good news. And this is why they call us hallelujahs, Jesus freaks. They call us, you know, everything under the sun. But once you become a born-again Christian, you are filled with the Spirit of God. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, everything now becomes open to your mind, to your spirit. The Lord begins to impart his word. The Holy Spirit of God begins to teach you. And now you start to see things differently. You know, I love it. I love it when I run into Catholic brethren. And when I have a sit-down conversation with my Catholic brothers and my Catholic sisters, and even those of other faiths, you'd be amazed at how much stuff people do not know. They do not understand. And when you start hitting the Ten Commandments, and they start to realize that the second commandment about idols, right? They removed it and now made the covet, you know, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, whatever. They made it into two commandments. Isn't it interesting? And when you start breaking down certain things, you know, call no man on earth father. You know, that bothers some of them. You know, when we understand that Mary's assignment is fulfilled, it's complete. She was chosen holy of God, but her assignment is fulfilled. She didn't go to heaven and marry God. No pun intended. Amen. So she can no longer intercede for you. She has no power to change anything. But because of the human intellect, because of the natural mind, we think, oh, well, maybe if we pray to Mary, she can, you know, smooth it out with Jesus and Jesus will interact. No, Jesus went to the cross. He was nailed to the cross. He made atonement for us so that the veil is torn so that you can walk into the Holy of Holies so that you could go to God the Father. Devil, get out of the way. I got to go talk to my daddy. You understand? We have authority. We've been given the pass. We've got the bat phone. You've got to know who you are. You've got to be assured of your salvation, saints of God. John 3:3, Jesus was talking to one of the teachers. He said to Nicodemus, you're one of the teachers of Israel. You don't understand what I'm telling you. You're supposed to be the one to teach about the word of God. He said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, when you ask, I'm going back to it. Hallelujah. I got to go there. When you ask a Catholic person, are you Christian? They'll say, yeah, I'm Christian. Ask them this question, the very next question, are you born again? The very next thing they're going to say is, what's that? I don't know what you're talking about. What does that mean? You understand? And these are deceptions that through the ages, people have just walked by. Walk on by. Bup, 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 bup. Just walk on by. Like we're tiptoeing. We don't even know what's going on. Our soul is at stake. There's a song, an old crazy song, and I hear it sometimes, and I think about the church. You want to know what the song is? Da, 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 dun, 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 dun. Da, 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 dun, 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 dun. Da, da, da. That's the song. As stupid as that sounds, somebody say, spirit of dumb, hallelujah. You know why? Because some of us walk around like that. Da, 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 dun, 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 dun. Da, da, da. We just coming and going. We don't even have a clue. Da, da, da. We don't have a clue. And the dude talks in German. Da, da, da. I don't even know what the language is. Praise God. But it just goes to show. It just goes to show that anything can entertain. Right. How little it takes to distract the people from the truth. How simple times, simple-mindedness we become in a time when the devil himself is unleashing his most vicious attacks on the family, on the children, on the church, on our schools, in our government, in the law offices, even at the supermarket. Do you know that everything we pick up, 90% of everything in the supermarket is trash? And I'm not going into it, but you look at all the chemicals. You can't even pronounce this stuff. Thousands of chemicals are banned in Europe, but in our country, they want us sick. They want us with cancer. They want us with diseases so the pharmaceutical companies can keep cashing in. And here we are. Da, da, da. Da, da, da. Da, da, da. Da, da, da. And then so many mock Jesus, mock Christians, mock even the Holy Spirit and not even realize, man, you're playing with death. You're playing with fire that you don't even have a clue. So many mock the Holy Spirit and blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. It's terrible. It's tragic and it's terrifying. Listen to this. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. He said, therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the spirit, not the phantom, not the gas, not the stardust. Everything spoken against the spirit, the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. That should terrify us to our boots. Let me make it clear of what blasphemy is, because some people don't understand what that means. The Pharisees, they had told Jesus, hey, you cast out devils by Beelzebub. And this is what he says. Hey, careful what you say, because you could speak about me all you want, but you speak about the Holy Spirit of God, you're in danger of never being forgiven. That's the one and only sin that will not be ever forgiven, not in this age, not in our lifetime, nor in the age to come, nor in eternity, if we blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. What is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? When you attribute to the devil what the Holy Spirit of God has done. That's why when people try to talk against their pastor and they say, oh, the pastor's a witch, the pastor's a warlock, the pastor, when the pastor's operating under the anointing, the unction, the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God, and you want to speak ill will toward the pastor or towards other leaders that are laboring in the word on your behalf, who the Bible says are worthy of double honor. My wife knows how many hours a week we don't even sit and talk. I'm locked in my room. And then I come into church and people are like this. And they're the very ones that after church say, Pastor, what a phenomenal word. Praise God. Wow. Powerful. And I like the other ones who get jiggy with it. They go like this. Right? Listen, when we attribute to the devil, when you give credit to the devil for anything that God has done, this is why it's very important. You know, you see the prophets, the false teachers and all that. You better make sure you don't touch God's anointed ones. You don't know. Listen, if you know the prophet speaks and it doesn't come to pass, then that person is a false prophet. But if you don't know, you keep your mouth shut. You keep it shut. Because if you say, oh, that's a demon. He got demons. And he's casting out devils and you're attributing a demon, you're in danger. Let me tell you something. Leave it alone. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is God. He's one of the Trinity. He's a Godhead. And he is not to be messed with. Praise God. We're going to hear some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. And like I said, some of you might understand, some of you might know, others might not. But I'm telling you this, even if it's a refresher, it's going to get into your spirit because you need to know, especially in the days that we're in. So I want to talk a little bit, and this is not an exhaustive list. There's so much I can go on here. But I'm going to give you some really important characteristics of the Holy Spirit of God so that you would understand who he is. Number one, Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf. Listen, he is the ultimate prayer warrior. The Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you, who understands, who knows what's in your heart. How many have ever prayed and you begin to pray in the Spirit? And you start praying. How many understand that there are times where you're praying and you feel like you haven't broke through the ceiling? Because there's something amiss and you don't understand what it is. And then you flip. You say, I got to go into my heavenly language. And you start praying in the Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, yes, who is now praying on your behalf with utterances that only God and him know. It is the bat phone like Commissioner Gordon. It is the direct pipeline to Jesus. It is the direct pipeline to the Father. And the Holy Spirit, who knows what's in your heart, and he knows exactly what needs to be prayed for, he begins to intercede on your behalf. It's the best prayer that can ever happen. It's the Holy Spirit within you praying to the Father. Listen to what the word says. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you know what else is important? The devil can't translate the prayer. The devil can't interpret the prayer. He doesn't have the decipher code. He can't decode the language. That's powerful stuff, man. Praise God. The Holy Spirit has intellect. The very next verse, Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is not going da 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 doo doo. No, he's fire. He's going in on your behalf, and he knows the mind of Christ. He has an intellect of the Lord because he is God. The Holy Spirit has emotion. A person has emotion. The Holy Spirit has emotion. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This is important because when you understand that the Holy Spirit of God is within you, and then you got this little hairy little thing that's messing with your head, and now you say, man, I think I'm going to go ahead and just do this. Ain't nobody going to know nothing. This is just me right now. Holy Spirit, just stand back for 5 minutes. I just need to handle this right here. I need to get this out of my system before Jesus comes. And we're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. We're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know when you hold something of higher value than God in your life, you could be very much in danger of committing spiritual adultery against the Father in heaven. Some of the things I just spoke about, the alcohol and all that. When you get drunk, your drunkenness is the act of worship to the idol of alcohol. And now you've substituted the spirit with alcohol. As a matter of fact, think about alcohol. It's even called the spirits. Wine and spirits, right? And it's not even a fake thing. It's telling you right up, this is a spirit, a false spirit. And when you ingest your alcohol and you get drunk on alcohol or whatever it is, it alters your brain and opens up spiritual dimensions and portals. And you give permission to the evil one to come in and wreak havoc into your life. Because now he could go to the Father and say, hey, bro, he opened the door. He gave me access. She permitted this. It's so crazy. But so many Christians, we want to serve the Lord. I praise God. At least we're here. Glory to God. We're here. I salute you. I salute you. Praise God. That was my bugle, fake bugle horn. But I salute you for being here. But the reality is, we got to step up. We got to step up. We're in a dangerous time. We can't keep making excuses. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God because we take him into the sinful thing or the sinful act or even the sinful place. And then while we're there and the music is boom, boots and pants and boots and pants and boots and pants, whatever that dumb commercial, right? Geico. When the music is thumping and your heart is going boom, 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 the Holy Spirit is going, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Get out of here. You know you need to go home. Get back to your wife. Get back to your husband. What are you doing here? Why are you talking like that? You know this doesn't honor God. What are you doing with yourself? Get it together. Get it together. Better recognize. What's up with you? Am I the only one? Praise God. I think everybody in this room has been there. Amen. If you're a servant of the Most High, you can never, never go backwards and find pleasure and find happiness and joy in the things that you repented for. Because the Spirit of God will never give you peace. Never, never, never until you get right. And this is why you force it. People of God, stop trying to force putting a wooden a block in a circle hole. It doesn't work. How about this? The Holy Spirit has a will. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Praise God. That means the spiritual gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit unites the body. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Greeks or Jews, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Hallelujah. I've got the river of living water. How many drink into the living water? How many are thirsty for the living water? Hallelujah. We're all one body. We're all one Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's for you. And then turn to your other neighbor and say, and he's for me too. Praise God. He is for you. Praise the living God. He is your helper. He is your deliverer. He is your comfort. The Holy Spirit, he gives us power. Hallelujah. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Glory to God. Listen, before I go to the next part, you've got to understand this. So many people walk without power because they are not operating under the power and authority that has already been given to them. You know, we say all the time, you hear it all the time, people say it all the time, we need to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The reality is, you're already baptized. When you are sealed with the Spirit of God, we're baptized into the body. We're baptized. The problem is, we ain't opening up the gift. So many people say, I don't know, I don't speak in tongues, I don't know yet, I don't know. You know why? Because you have not stepped out on faith. You have not stepped off the porch. You have not gotten off the boat. Hallelujah. You're still safe in the water. You see the Spirit of God, and he's coming near you, and you say, is that you? If it is, bid me to come. And he says, come. And then you see your other brother get out of the boat and walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, right? But you're still in the boat because you're not taking the risk. We're all baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you know? I was under the wrong teaching for many, many years in a Spanish Pentecostal church. Now, I did learn so many wonderful things, so many great spiritual disciplines, and I don't knock it. It was a great experience for me, but there was a lot of error in my upbringing. And there was so many times they would say, pray, you've got to fast more, you've got to pray more, you've got to be in the presence of God more. And I would be praying 45 minutes hungry because I was fasting all day hungry. And I'd be praying, God, help me. I want to speak in tongues. If it's for me, make it happen, make it happen, make it happen. Make me speak. I submit myself. And I'm seeing all my friends in the youth ministry. All outside. And then they're in the parking lot dropping F-bombs. And yo, girl, let me get your number. Let me get your number, girl. Let me get your number. And them church girls were the hot ones. The active ones. Hallelujah. Action. No, I'm telling the truth. Listen, you're talking to somebody who used to sell weed on the roof of the church. And I would get high and then go to Sunday school thinking the roof was going to blow me up with a lightning bolt. Because I had lost the fear. I didn't even have the fear of God. I was born and raised in the church, and my mother yanked me. You're going to church. You're going to church. And I would do the stupidest things in church. I'm telling you, I'm delivered. That's why when I'm standing up here saying, I'm grateful, 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 because you didn't kill me. Grateful, grateful, because you didn't blow me up. Grateful, grateful, because I ain't waking up in a jail cell with Leroy looking at my behind. Having to sleep like this. Grateful, 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 because I got a job. I can provide. I can take my lady out to lunch. Hey. And I pick up the tab because I'm a man. Hallelujah. Hey. Grateful, grateful, and I ain't ashamed of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Blessed be my Lord and Savior who saved me from the mud. Who took me out of my shame and my guilt. Hallelujah. There's some things that I could share with you people because it'll encourage you. But there's other things that I will never share. And they ain't never going to see the light of day because they are never going to be in God's jumbotron in heaven. Because I've been washed. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins are remembered no more, no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my transgressions from me and placed them in the sea of forgetfulness. Grateful, grateful, it's flowing from my heart. Great, that's why I'm grateful. I'm grateful because he's faithful. What does the Holy Spirit do, saints of God? Let me give you some immediate information here. Number one, the Holy Spirit comforts you. Some of us need comfort. Some of us need comfort. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. We read this three times this morning. He is our comforter. Isn't it interesting that the very first title that Jesus uses when he's describing the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our helper. He is your comforter. How often we need help. I love my kids and I love my sons. I'm a new grandfather, glory to God. I'm blessed. Alana Charlotte Rose. I love her already. I love her, but I'm blessed. But my kids, they were my helpers. In the first 8 years of this ministry, we'd have to set up the chairs every Sunday. AJ, remember? And they used to come to church upset. Man, I always got, why come ain't nobody else helping up in here? Why come nobody else can help us? Why? Because you're the pastor's sons. Get it together. We're going to do this. Amen. 8 years setting up, breaking down, setting up. And we did it twice a week. There were times where I was so tired. Son, go mow the lawn for me, please. Son, go take care of the, can you get the garbage? Can you put the garbage off for me? And then when they got their license, hey, son, can you go to the store? Yeah, let's go. Yeah, they would come to me. Alec would say, Dad, you need anything from the store? You need anything from the store? You know, isn't it nice to have helpers? Isn't it nice when you don't feel right? You start getting a little older. You don't feel like going anywhere. And you got someone to help you. The Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. He's there to comfort you in your time of need. He is your comforter. Everybody, at one point or another, you're going to need comfort. You're going to need help. When Jesus was about to be separated from his disciples, when the torment and anguish of what he was going to experience to satisfy the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the Father's will, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he felt all alone, the Spirit of the living God had comforted him. When he knew that he was about to go to the cross and the shame and the agony was ahead, he found comfort in the Lord. Let me give you this story. I just found this story really interesting, and what a blessing. On January 10th, 2003, there was a young man named Terry Dreyer. He was in the ocean for more than 20 or 30 hours. His boat had capsized. He was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. He gave a valiant effort for survival. Although later he confessed that he thought he was going to die at sea. How horrible of a death that is. And imagine sharks and animals, you know, surrounding you, ready to eat you alive. Think about that. After numerous hours at sea, a helicopter located him and sent word to a ship that was on its way to the Persian Gulf. This ship was named the USS Comforter. This ship was on its way to battle and then veered off route to rescue one man. They grabbed him out of the ocean with certain death looming, and the doctor on board and the nurses, they nursed him back to health. Many of us, like this man, are just treading water every day, just trying to stay afloat. And some of us, even in this room, you might be at a place right now where you're saying, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know how much more time. I think I'm ready to give up. But all we need to do is know that our deliverer and our comforter is hovering nearby. The God of all comfort will come and make sure that our rescue comes in right season. I witnessed the birth of my granddaughter just a few days ago. And I'm sorry, Bree, if you're listening, praise God, because I had a big old smile on my face. I was kind of happy and cheerful because finally the moment of life has come. And she's going, ah! And I'm just... I know, it's pretty bad. I didn't mean to, but it's the joy. That was the sound of life. It was the sound of what I've been waiting for, the answer to my prayer. You know, she was afraid it was going to be a preemie. I said, no, 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 we're praying full term. Full term. And now the answer to my prayer is right in hand. Ah! And she's going, I can't do this. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I heard it with my own ears. And then this is the game changer. You ready for this? She said, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. Ah! Boom, Alana came right after she said those words. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you rely on the Comforter to pull it through. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need thee. Right? Lord, I need thee. Right? When you call on the Lord, he's just a phone call away. He's right there. And you could depend on him for comfort and strength. And when you think you can't do it, he's right there to say, I got you. Saints of God, we need comfort when we're in tears. When we're in tears, praise God. When you experience hurt and pain, when you feel all alone. Some of us are literally all alone in the world. We don't have family. We don't have friends. We don't have nobody. I'm telling you, if that's you, you have a family in this room. You've come to a community that loves you, that will pray with you, that will stand in the gap. We're not perfect, but we will love you. We're not perfect, but we're a family, and we're going to be together forever. Glory to God. How about when others turn against us? How about when we feel betrayed by those that are closest to us? How about when death touches one in our family? Holy Spirit of God, that's when we need him more and more. That's when we need the touch. That's when you need the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That means when you receive comfort, you have to be available to others to provide comfort when they're in their time. Amen? And the God of all comfort will comfort us all. Hallelujah. Point number 2, the Holy Spirit, he counsels us. We read in John 14:26, he shall teach us all things. How many know you need a counselor when you are being tried? Hallelujah. When you are perplexed, when you don't have the answers. How many times this world troubles me? How many times am I perplexed by the things that take place? And it's mind-boggling to me. Maybe I shouldn't say this. It's perplexing to me. I'm going to say this, and I'll leave it at this. It appears that we have a shadow government. That means our president is the one that we see. And he speaks, and he goes, hey, you know, you know? No, I don't know, bro. Clarify, please. But there's a shadow government pulling the strings. Somebody else is pulling the strings. And I get perplexed. How could this happen? We're not a third world nation. We're not a banana republic. We're the United States of America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. How could this happen? It's perplexing to me. What's more perplexing is how many people support this crazy, loony stuff that's going on now, this woke life, woke agenda stuff. It's crazy. It's not even like it used to be. Like, I could understand. All right, let me just move on. It's mind-boggling. Listen. I'm for life, the pursuit of happiness. I'm for all those things, right? But I'm not for killing our babies, and I'm not for all these other crazy stuff. You know, man and a woman, that's it. Genders, you know? There's a lot of this stuff that happens, and it's amazing because sometimes Christians are defending this stuff. We need to turn to the counselor. We need the Holy Spirit of God to teach us according to thy word. Guide the church in these turbulent, trying times of doubt and fear. Many people, like I say, they don't know how to go to the Spirit of the living God. So they go elsewhere. Let me give you an example. Here we go. You know, summer, believe it or not, is almost around the corner. It's quickly approaching. And if the Lord should tarry, especially on these hot, bright summer days, there's really no need for a flashlight. When the sun is at its height and at its peak and it's shining bright, who in their right mind will go outside with a flashlight and try to light their way? Doesn't it seem counterproductive? The flashlight is always going to be inferior to the superior light. Amen. Many people, instead of going to the light, they go to palm readers and psychic networks. They go to their Ouija boards and their tarot cards. And instead of going simply to God, who has given you access through the blood of his son Jesus, through the cross, through the Holy Spirit of the living God, we have direct access into the gates of heaven, into the throne room of God. And we choose to go to the inferior rather than the superior. Yeah. We turn on a flashlight when we're under sunlight. And like a sister said earlier, we pay money for something that we already have for free. We open up the doors to the evil one rather than turning to one who is good. And then we are open to all kinds of deceptions. And you got people saying, oh, Uncle Bob, I hear Uncle Bobby saying that he loves you. And I hear Uncle Charlie saying that you're the bomb.com. And I hear a sister, there's something with a B, a B, a B, oh my God, that's Beverly. Oh, yeah, Beverly, your Aunt Beverly. No, it wasn't my aunt, it was my mother. Oh, your mother, Beverly. We're so foolish. Da, da, da. Do you know that those are demons? Demons. They're impersonating Uncle Bob, Uncle Charlie, and your mom, Beverly. They're impersonating them. And these psychics are tapping illegally to the spirit realm. They're listening to seducing spirits and demons, and they're speaking on behalf of demons. If there was a stronger well, I'd probably say it. Hallelujah. But because I don't know necessarily another way, I go, well, well, well. He walked the animals two by two. No, all right. Let me go. that was a good song. Hallelujah. Jesus counseled his disciples. If we stay close to the Father's heart, if we stay close and we walk with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will counsel us. He will teach us. He will tutor us. He will guide us. And he will teach you individually. And he will teach you in the presence of the brethren. He will teach you through his word. He is constantly looking to teach you and to mature you so you pass the test. So many don't want to learn. Don't want to go through the battles. Don't want to finish the test. They want to run. They want to hide. They want to isolate themselves and never realize that they just got to go through it again. Turn to your neighbor and say, pass the test. Hallelujah. Pass the test. Glory to God. Pass the test. Hallelujah. It's not easy. Praise God. It's not easy. I get it. It's a challenge. But pass the test. Amen. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know he's talking about you. That was for you. Praise God. That was for you. Hallelujah. That one was for you. Praise God. What exactly does the Holy Spirit teach us? He illuminates our path. He's like a GPS system. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a GPS system. You know, think about this. If you've never been to a location and you, let's say, have a vacation thing and you're going to drive somewhere, don't you punch in the digits and you punch in the address and you put your total trust in the GPS? And then as you drive, the GPS is saying, turn left right here. In 1,000 feet, you're going to turn on the roundabout. And then you're going to make a right. And you keep going. Now go 125 miles to this route. And you're listening to the instructions. As long as you're listening, you're going to be fine. And you're going to end up at your destination. But if you're stubborn and hard-headed, you get a cocotazo. What happens is you veer off course. And if you've ever veered off course, the machine begins to say, recalculate, recalculate. That's a nice way of saying, duh. Get it together. Get back on course. And what happens if you're not paying attention, you're just driving. And all of a sudden, they'll say, at the next turn, you're going to make a U-turn. At the next intersection, you're going to make a U-turn. And after a while, if you still ain't moving and ain't following, it's going to say, do you wish to proceed on the original route? Like, Are you ready to get back on course? And you literally have to press yes or go or resume. Because if you don't, then the screen goes black. It says, all right, este aquí, he's done. This brother don't even want to listen to no direction. This papa right here, he's off the grid. He went off course. Yeah, yeah. All right, so we're just going to stand by for further instruction. But sometimes the Holy Spirit has got to tell you, hey, bro, you're a little bit off course right now. Hey, sister, I think you got to redirect yourself. I think you got to get back on track. Brother, I think you got to recalculate. I think you got to turn back and do it now before you veer off further off course. There's a cliff over there. You're about to go off that cliff, Papa. I'm trying to get you back on track. If you obey, you will arrive alive. If you deny, you just pass by. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, he's going to teach you about God's word. 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men who spoke, men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit knows. He's the teacher. He imparts the word. He imparts the prophetic word. He imparts the knowledge of God. It comes through him, not through man. The Holy Spirit will teach you about life. John 14, 26. Remember, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. This is Jesus. All the words of the Lord Jesus. All the words that you hear coming from this altar. All the words that have been poured into you. He will bring to your remembrance. Isn't it funny that at the time that you want to hear those words the least, that's when he comes in and says, yo, bro. What I'm talking about was when you're about to do something that you ain't supposed to do. Isn't it that time when the Holy Spirit goes, boom, and drops it right on your head. And you go, ah. How about this? When you're scrolling and you see that little image and you linger a little bit too long and you go. And then the Holy Spirit says, you shall worship the Lord God and only him shall you serve, right? And he starts dropping these little things in your head. Say, oh, God, mercy, Jesus, hallelujah. Mercy, Lord. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking to one of y'all. Hallelujah. He teaches you about life. If you just pay attention, you'll move so much further. You'll be so much more successful in the things of God and in the life that he gives us. He teaches us about Jesus, John 16, 13 through 15. However, when he, The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. That's powerful. That means that the Lord Jesus is uploading everything that he wants for your life and giving it to the Spirit of God to impart it onto you. Hallelujah. My final point, he convicts. And when he is come, John 16:8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. For those that need to know, the word reprove means to convict. The Holy Spirit himself, he is the one who will convict you of sin. People have a conscience. You think about the word conscience, it's a compound word. Con means with, science means knowledge. Conscience means with knowledge. The Holy Spirit prods our conscience about sin, sin that so easily ensnares us. Do you ever feel guilty when you're about to do no good, when you're speaking wrong against someone? When you're saying a little bit more that you should not be saying, hallelujah, and all of a sudden you begin to feel the condemnation or the guilt or the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you have to go to the quiet place and repent. Let me give you a little example. Again, the airports. I love flying, but I can't stand the airports. Hallelujah. But when we go to the airport, there are security systems. And we all know that before you get on the plane, you've got to go through the metal detectors. And they roto-rooter everything. They make you take everything out. And you got to take your bags out. They look at everything. First, you got to empty out of your pockets, put everything in a basket, pass through the metal detector. And if you forgot something, you left your keys or something metal on your person, the machine's going to beep. And you simply cannot go through without being undetected. Or without being detected by any metal that you have. In my case, I've got 2 titanium knees. And even if I take everything off, I go and it goes, beep, beep, beep. Don't let this one through. Beep, beep. And I'm like, yo, bro, I'm the bionic man. I got bionic knees. And they're like, woo, 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 woo. I said, I told you, bro. It's knees. I got metal knees. But when you go through the detector, it's so cumbersome. But praise God that that metal detector detects any harmful weapons so that at least we could fly in peace. Amen? You could take a nap and know that somebody's not going to come in with a knife or a blade or try to take over the plane. In our body, we also have a detector. It's a sin detector. That detector is called the Holy Spirit. And he's going to let us know every time we try to introduce sin into our life, that internal Holy Spirit detector go beep, 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 beep. It's a sin alarm that's going off. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit begins to prick you and say, hey, get this out of your life. Get this out of your pocket. Get this off of your person. And he's going to help you to understand you've got to get rid of these things. Many of us try so hard to make it fit. Even though the Holy Spirit says no, we try to force our way anyway, and we find ourselves backwards. The Holy Spirit, the first work of the Holy Spirit is conviction. He's going to convict before comes, the conviction comes before conversion, and correction comes before comfort. I'm going to say this. This is pretty funny, but it's true. How many dog owners in the room? Amen. We know we got to walk our beautiful family, our furry brethren, right? Hallelujah. Close to our hearts. But we got to walk them. Hallelujah. If you've ever walked a dog, and some of us have to walk several dogs, but if you've ever walked a dog and you come to a pole, both the dog and the walker have to be in agreement, or what's going to end up is that the dog is going to go through one side and the walker is going to go through the other. The master, the leader, is going to walk through the other. And it's impossible to proceed until one, in most cases, it's the owner of the dog, has to take a step backwards and redirect the dog so that now you can both choose one side and go straight. If you don't, you could literally just get entangled in a situation. This is what God sometimes has to do with us. He has to pull us backwards in order for us to be able to move forward. When God jerks us back, it's not to make you angry. It's not that he's trying to be mean to you. Hallelujah. It simply means that he's trying to get you to go around the obstructions in your path so that you would have a clear sight, a clear path to walk without any obstructions. Amen. A lot of times we don't want to listen and we become stubborn and we're just tangled around the little pole. The Holy Spirit is going to convict us of our lack of righteousness because all of us have failed to do the right things at all times. Jesus Christ is the only one who demonstrated how to live a perfect life. He is the only perfect Lamb of God. He is the one that established the holy standard of God because the Word says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Don't ever think that you have arrived, because as long as the Lord shall tarry, we are striving to be sanctified day by day. The Holy Spirit convicts us of judgment, because one day every one of us are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God, some for commendation and some for condemnation. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. I love that verse that it says die once, because that means there is a second death. If death was the end, there would only be death. But he said die once. The second death could be the destination of many that are outside of the body of Christ. Amos 4:12, therefore thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Listen. While it may be uncomfortable, the purpose of conviction is to draw us nearer to Christ. It's when the Holy Spirit begins to tug on our heart and to convict us of wrongdoing. It's that when he's sharpening our sword. It's that when he's sharpening up our path. It's not that he's trying to kill your joy or rob your peace or take you away from the things that you want. He's trying to direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ to get you back on the sure path. And if you submit to it, it will go well with you. You see, we're in a fallen world, and we're in an environment that is unnatural to us. Let me give you an example. Deep sea divers, they enter the water with oxygen tanks on their back. The purpose for the tank is to give the divers the ability to make it in a foreign world. Water isn't the natural habitat for the diver. The diver must be connected to a life source from the other environment in order for them to make it in a foreign environment. If they ever get disconnected from the oxygen tank, they will die in the other world. Amen? So in order to continue to live and continue to do what they're doing, they must borrow from their world to enter into the other world. Glory to God. The oxygen tank for the Christian is the Holy Spirit of the living God. We live in a foreign place, people of God. You have to be connected to the Holy Spirit in order to be connected to the real source from your own world. The Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Hallelujah. Now listen, the world is in a state of abnormality, but those of us in Christ have returned to the place of normalcy. It's normal to talk with Jesus. It's normal to be imparted from the Holy Spirit. It's normal to walk in the cool of every day. That's normal, but you gotta be connected to the source. So many of us in this house, we're connected together. Glory to God. And for the rest of us, we need you to get there. Hallelujah. We all want to be connected and we want to receive what the Spirit has. Hallelujah. If you're not connected, you're going to be gagging for breath, for spiritual breath that this world cannot offer because it neither knows it, nor has it, nor understands it. That breath, that life source can only come by way of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And this is the hope that we have. We have the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now as I conclude, right on time, hallelujah. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Are you responding to the promptings and nudgings of the Holy Spirit of God? How about this? How do you respond when He convicts you? How do you respond to those little tugs on your heart? Receive His comfort today. Receive His counsel. Do it His way and live. And that should encourage everyone in this room. God bless you in the presence of the living God. Hallelujah.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.